Hey, college football fans. This podcast is brought to you by Citi. And whether it's football or finance, teamwork matters, which is why Citi is proud to bring you college football's finest. The 2010 Rose Bowl game presented by Citi. This is the ESPNU College Football Podcast.
College Football Podcast.
Your host today, Ivan Maisel.
Hello and welcome to the ESPNU College Football Podcast. This is Ivan Maisel, senior writer at ESPN.com. The first of our daily reports from the BCS Championship game. I'm joined by my colleague Mark Schlabaugh, also in Newport Beach. How are you?
Great, Ivan. Looking at the Pacific Ocean.
Yes, I am too, and I do want to reassure everyone in the rest of the country where it's 12 degrees that it's very nice out here, and I'm sure you'll be as thrilled to hear it as my family has been in Connecticut. Mark, we got Alabama and Texas arrived over the weekend. Number one, Crimson Tide. Number two, Texas. The early discussion has been one of the early topics has been the Texas offense and its inability to block in Domakong Su of Nebraska in the Big 12 championship game, and whether that will have any impact on playing Terrence Cody in Alabama and that whole Alabama defensive front. Here's a comment from Adam Ulatowski, the Texas left tackle, and discussing Cody, comparing him to Sue.
Oh, you know, Cody's a great player. He's, you know, he's just a load up front, and you know, he takes up double teams, and he takes up a lot of blocks, and really helps the linebackers. I think that they're both very, very talented. They're both very, very good. I think they're different players. I don't think they're the same. I think you can see by, you know, Sue had so many tackles because he's more of a read and get off and go make a play, where Cody's going to take up some blocks up front and free up the linebackers to go make plays.
Mark, what do you think? I mean, are we talking apples and oranges on any number of levels? Is there any way that you can compare Cody to Sue? Any way you can compare Nebraska to Alabama?
You're two of the most dominant defensive lineman in the country this year, but I was at the Big 12 championship game, and to watch Sue in that game was probably the most dominant performance I'd ever seen by a defensive player. And you know, I think Cody's a great player in his own right, but I don't think he's nearly as fast or nearly as explosive as Sue. He seems to be a huge 300 and whatever pound load that commands double team block, but I think Sue is just so much more explosive, such a quicker first step, and I think they're different players. But, you know, I think for Texas, the question is how quickly can those five offensive linemen regain their confidence, restore confidence in that unit, and then block a very, very stingy Alabama defense.
Well, here's speaking of which, here's Cody talking his version of the difference between what Alabama does and what Nebraska does.
Our defense isn't made to, you know, like our front and stuff isn't made for us to, like, go out and make plays. It's pretty much made for us to take up blockers and have the linebackers flow around and make plays and the DBs to come up and make plays without being touched. I mean, he's a real good player and stuff. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm better than him. I mean, we're both real good players and stuff, and we'll just know, you know, I mean, he had a good game, and, you know, maybe, I mean, I'm going to try to have the same, well, not the same exact, but some close to his.
Now, having had him say that, I then asked him about, you know, what he made, having watched the Nebraska film, of what Sue did and how they might benefit from it. So here's that.
Terrence, you said that Texas has a good O-line. What happened in the Nebraska game?
Well, I mean, you have your games and you have your good games, but it also comes to game plan and defensive schemes and stuff, and they probably seen something in their offense that they can take advantage of, and that's what they did. I mean, they dominated up front and got a lot of pressure on Colt McCoy, and they stopped the run, and that's what pretty much happened.
Is there anything you can take from what you saw there?
Well, I mean, we can see, you know, you can get a lot of pressure up the middle and stuff, but, you know, that's pretty much what we've seen.
The one thing that occurred to me, and these players discussed it, Mark, is that, you know, this is the national championship game, and it's not as if, you know, Texas has been hearing about how they can't block Sue and they couldn't block Sue and you know, it's in the typical week that might be great motivation for them, but you know, after all, they are playing for the national championship. That ought to be motivation.
If you can't get motivated to play for the national championship, they need to check your pulse. And I mean, you know, I think if those five guys are ever going to show up and play well, it would be against Alabama. And I'm sure it's motivation for them. They've spent the last 6 weeks hearing about how they can block Sue. And there's no way they're going to block Alabama. So, you know, I think it's a motivation for them. I think they'll probably come into the Rose Bowl Thursday night with a chip on their shoulder. And I'm sure it's something that Greg Davis and Mac McWhorter, the Texas coaches, have pounded into their heads that, hey, if we can't block Alabama, if you guys can't block Alabama, we can't beat Alabama. So there's going to be a lot riding on those five guys' shoulders.
Well, here's Texas quarterback Colt McCoy describing how good he sees the Alabama defense.
They don't make mistakes. They're in the right place at the right time. They disguise their blitzes. They come from depth. They overload one side and come from the other. You know, it's going to be really a big challenge for us. For me as a quarterback, I'll do my best to put our offensive line in the protections that I see, you know, that would work the best. But at the same time, you know, our receivers are going to have to be on point with our hot balls, our blitz pickups. You know, our offensive line is really going to have their hands full with their front. But at the same time, you know, we really are confident in our game plan and what we're doing. But we really have to be sharp.
McCoy, of course, a great career at Texas. Four incredible years. He can run. He can throw. He does everything. And in that sense, I wonder, you know, how much Alabama can tee off on him the way that they might, you know, the way that they've been able to dominate so many other quarterbacks.
Well, I think his mobility is certainly going to help, and I think he's different from some of the other quarterbacks that Alabama's faced. I think he's a guy that can get to the corner. I think he's quick enough to get to the corner and make some big plays with his feet. And, you know, I don't know that other than Nebraska, if he's faced a defense that's as good as Alabama. You know, the one concern I have about Colt McCoy is they played two really good defenses this year, Oklahoma and Nebraska, and he didn't play very well in either one of them. You wonder what's going through his head as he gets ready to play the number one defense in the country in Alabama. So it's going to be an interesting aspect to watch Thursday night as well.
Well, and it's the, you know, the whole issue of the Texas running game. You know, it's come up again here the way it has the last few years. And offensive coordinator Greg Davis has always maintained that, you know, listen, that little pass into the flat, that's our sweep. You know, that's what gets us to second and six. Alabama's got a lot of quickness on defense, and Texas has done it to everybody, and that's just the scheme of the offense. But, you know, I'm wondering if that, I mean, what do you think about them being able to do that against Alabama?
Well, I think it's different facing Bama because they've got so much speed on the defensive perimeter and the linebackers run so well. I think Alabama had more speed at the linebacker when Dante Hightower was healthy, but certainly with McLean and Javier Arenas and those other guys, they're going to be able to focus in on Colt McCoy a little bit better. I think if you're an offense, you cannot be one-dimensional facing Alabama. You've got to keep them honest against defending the run, or they'll put 7-8 guys in the box. Now, we've seen Nick Saban's philosophy is to take a lot of risks, to take a lot of gambles, to take some chances, and they've been prone to give up big passing plays. I think you saw that against Auburn in the Iron Bowl. They took some chances early, gave up a couple of big plays, fell behind 14-0. If Texas can come out, hit a big downfield passing play to either Malcolm Williams or Jordan Shipley or somebody else, then I think Bama's got to back off a little bit. I think the key for Texas is to hit one of those home runs early, get some confidence, give that offensive line some confidence, and make Alabama play a little more honest on defense.
Well, and nobody's better at making a defense play honestly than Colt McCoy. And here's Rolando McClain, the Alabama All-American linebacker, talking about how having played Tim Tebow of Florida in their last game has helped him get ready for Texas?
I mean, it helps because our D-line, they did a great job containing him, not letting him get out and run and make plays with his feet too often. I think he did one long scramble. Other than that, he was in the pocket all day. We have confidence in our secondary coverage. We just have to do a good job of containing him as well as getting to him when we actually do blitz.
And what's interesting to me there, Mark, is, you know, just the notion of thinking that, you know, McCoy is faster than Tebow, and he certainly looks faster, and he does provide a different challenge.
It must be somewhat sacrilegious to say it, but I think Colt McCoy is faster than Tim Tebow. I think they're both multifaceted quarterbacks, but I think Tebow's a guy who Florida uses him to pound it between the tackles. He's a great runner on third and short, fourth and short, and every once in a while, you know, he'll burst up the middle for a long game. But I think Colt potentially can bust it 20, 25 yards every time he touches the ball. He's able to get around the corner. I think he's faster than Tebow is. But at the same time, you know, I think Colt's a more polished passer standing in the pocket. I think he's a more traditional drop-back passer. With all due respect to what Tim did against Cincinnati defense in the Sugar Bowl, I don't think he's the most accurate passer that's going to sit back there and pick you apart.
He is good throwing on the run, though, and he's had a lot of practice at it. Yeah. So Shipley and he have great, you know, a great vibe and knowing who's going to be where when, you know, which comes from being together for, you know, nearly their entire lives, it seems like.
And living together in a one-bedroom apartment this year, right?
Yes.
A tour spot, as you'll find.
Yeah, no, that's chemistry. We'll have plenty more from out here, but I'd be remiss, Mark, if I didn't ask you about having been at the Gator Bowl over the weekend to see the end of Bobby Bowden's career, and it was emotional watching it on television. I can't imagine what it was like to be there.
Nah, you know, the guy who's been down there an awful lot this year and the last few years, you know, you knew the end was coming. You hated to see it actually happen. But, you know, I think the big thing for everybody involved was to see Bowden go out with the win. I think more importantly, avoid his first losing season since 1976. I think if they would have lost that game, they would have finished 6-7. And that would have been a terrible way for Bobby Bowden to go out. I thought Rick Catlett, the Gator Bowl Association president of the bowl game, did a great job. You know, game day, New Year's Day, started off raining and cold. And, you know, yet there were thousands of fans out there for the Bowden walk from the team bus to the entrance of the stadium. More than 300 former players came out to greet Bowden. He said that was the most emotional part of it. You know, guys like Chris Winkie and Derek Alexander and Derek Brooks, a lot of former NFL players were there. And said to have to walk through his former players, I think it finally hit him. He said he was going to try his best not to cry, but he said at that point it was pretty tough to fight back the tears. And I think, you know, another thing that doesn't need to be overlooked is that how gracious Phil Stewart and West Virginia were in honoring Bobby Bowden. You know, obviously Bowden had coached at West Virginia before going to Florida State. He'd coached Phil Stewart for a year when Stu was a walk-on on the freshman team there, but you know, they knew it was going to be about Bobby Bowden. They knew they were going to play second fiddle, and they didn't blink an eye at it. And Stu said several times during the week that he absolutely idolized Bobby Bowden, and I'm sure he was very disappointed to lose the game after Garrett Brown got hurt near the end of the first quarter, but I think for everybody involved, they'd love to see Bobby Bowden go out with a win.
Well, it was an even more perfect matchup than it appeared beforehand, and you're right. Part of that is the graciousness of Stewart, but just to, you know, have Bobby's first big coaching job come in there and, you know, and play his greatest coaching job. It really was a special moment for college football I'm just sad to see him go. On the other hand, you spent the first day with Jimbo Fisher in Tallahassee and it's a little bit of a sea change.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I was there in Tallahassee for his first staff meeting, and, you know, obviously you're talking about 40 years difference in age between the two. I think offensively, you're not going to see many changes from Florida State. Christian Ponder is going to be back from an injury. Both their tailbacks were young. The receiver corps was very, very young. Most of the offensive line is going to be back. Rick Trickett's back as the offensive line coach, so you're still going to have that same drill sergeant mentality up front. But defensively, there's going to be a lot of changes, and I think that's obviously been Florida State's shortcoming. He brought in Mark Stoops from Arizona as a defensive coordinator. Greg Hudson, the defensive coordinator from East Carolina, is coming in as a linebackers coach, which was a great hire for Jimbo to get Hudson to come in as a position coach. But, they got to get better up front. They've recruited very, very well. I think you'll see 60-80% of their recruiting class will probably be guys pointed towards defense. A couple guys enrolling early. Jeff Luke, a great linebacker out of Florida. Matty on the safety, who committed to Florida and switched to Florida State. If they can continue to recruit guys like that, I think they'll have a chance to get better on defense. And I think if they get better on defense, they could be up there with Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech in the ACC pretty quickly.
Tonight, Monday night, Mark, we get the Fiesta Bowl, Boise State and TCU. What do you see there?
I see a great ball game. Hey, when the BTS bowl games were announced, it was a game that caught my eye. I'm really excited to watch it. I think it's one of the great matchups. And I know there are a lot of people
out there that were disappointed
that TCU and Boise State weren't playing teams from BCS conferences. But, I said it from the beginning. I don't know what more Boise State could prove by beating an Iowa or a Georgia Tech team or vice versa for TCU. But, I think TCU is going to present Boise State with undoubtedly the toughest defense they're going to face all season. Got to figure out a way to block Jerry Hughes, a great pass rushing defensive end. I think TCU's offense has been underrated all year. I think they're one of only a couple of teams in the country to rank in the top 10 nationally in total offense and total defense. And TCU was just killing people down the stretch. They were just blowing out Mountain West Conference opponents. I'll be curious to see if they can maintain that momentum after the long layoff. But I'm telling you, out of all the bowl games that have been played so far, this is the one game I've probably looked most forward to watching.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, too. We'll talk about it on tomorrow's podcast, as well as more news from Newport Beach, where Alabama and Texas are preparing for the BCS championship game. For Mark Schlabaugh, this is Ivan Maisel. Thanks for downloading us.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's show. For more great podcasts, check out the Pod Center page at ESPNradio.com. Hey, college football fans. This podcast is brought to you by Citi. And whether it's football or finance, teamwork matters, which is why Citi is proud to present the 2010 Citi BCS National Championship Game.